What's up, guys? Chris here from RC Cinema Podcast. Just wanted to give you a quick update before this episode. We have some really cool news. We just made it onto Apple Podcasts and Spotify Podcasts, so you'll be able to listen to us there. There won't be any visuals or video of us, but you'll be able to catch us there in the car or wherever you're going. That's at RC Cinema Podcast on Spotify and Apple Music. Check us out on IG as well at RC Cinema Pod. Okay, awesome. Peace out, guys. Enjoy the episode.
Edge back as far as you can go. To counterbalance me now. Hang on a minute, lads. I've got a great idea.
Welcome another week of RC Cinema Pod. I'm Chris. That's Ryan. Here we are. We got another great film for you today. I mean, I am excited about this one. I know Ryan is really excited about this one. And that is the 1969 Italian Job, starring the great Michael Caine. I very much love Michael Caine, and he's a talented actor, and he is fantastic in it. Also, you got Noel Coward, Benny Hill, the guy, the comedian who is super famous, just happens to be in this as well. I mean, it's a great heist movie. It's one of the OG heist movies, remade in 2003, starring Mark Wahlberg and Charlize Theron, but we're talking about the original here today. I'm excited to get into this one. What about you, Ryan?
So I'll admit that this is also the first time that I've seen this. And, you know, I went into this knowing that there was a remake that I had never seen. But I was like, anything that warrants a remake, the original must be good. And it made me curious to watch the remake, you know. Also, like, Jason Statham is in the remake. And what's funny is he plays a character in that movie, apparently, that's not even in this film. But, like, this is, like, such a fun, like, this is, like, a fun little, like, it's a quick little movie about, like, a little caper. And there's, like, some fun to be had along the way. And it's kind of funny to see, like, how heist movies have evolved from there, you know. Like, because when I personally think about a heist movie, I think about, like, A Dog Day Afternoon. I think one of the Fast movies, which a lot of them revolve around a heist. Fast Five, is the kind of the pinnacle of, like, what those heist movies are. I might think about Heat. I might think about Dog Day Afternoon. You know, like, Chris and I both love Heat. Great, great film. Very, very much recommended if you like heist films. But, you know, the classic heist film is, like, kind of a gathering of, like, all these, like, really talented people. And it's like, oh, I get to see all these guys in the same movie, like, play off of each other. That's how I've always kind of thought of them. They're like, they're an excuse to get all these same guys in one movie. You know what I mean? I even think of, like, Inside Man, which is like, you get Chiwetel Ejiofor and Denzel Washington in this same movie about, like, this big heist in New York. But, like, to me, it's like, these are the perfect type of movies to, like, get a lot of talent in. And tell your story. Or a lot of times what happens is just like you'll get three really big stars and then like a bunch of smaller guys. But with this one, it's just like one really, really big actor. And then everybody else is like much smaller in the American, in like American cinema anyway, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And I completely agree with that sentiment. I mean, yeah, of course we have, when we think of heist, we think of the big casts. I mean, the Ocean series, I mean, The Town, these are just other heist movies. Mm-hmm. But it's not just about like the big cast too, but it's also about these individual characters that come together. And I think we see this in The Italian Job as well. And I think we see it in every heist movie, but every character has a specific role, a specific set of skills. Like Liam Neeson says, yeah, in Taken, but a specific set of skills that they can, that on their own, you know, doesn't amount to anything, but put together into this, like the planning of the heist is put together, the planning, yeah, of the crew put together.
Yeah.
I mean, even Reservoir Dogs as well. Reservoir Dogs, you know.
It's all about like those individual characters, and that's what interests you throughout the film. You're like, ooh, I want to know more about that guy. Ooh, I want to know more about that guy. And I think that like, in certain parts, this movie does fail at certain points to like pique your interest, because there is the point when you get introduced to all the different guys and I'm like, oh, like we've evolved from here in like what we know as a heist movie. Cause like, I was like, oh, like he just goes around. He's like, oh, these are your drivers. This is the computer guy who's kind of weird. And what's really funny is when he shows, is like when they have the computer program and to think how far computers have come, and it's like this giant roll of film, you know, and they're going to use it essentially, like that's what the plot of the film is. They're going to use this program to mess up all the traffic lights so they can cause a huge traffic jam while they escape after they rob this armored truck essentially of gold. And you know, where it ends up is really, really funny. It's very comedic at a lot of points. And you know, this is like a classic like comedy caper. Like you're gonna have laughs, you're gonna you know, see these cool action scenes, and then you know, go about your day. It's very, very quick. Michael Caine is very good in it, and there's a lot of very silly things that happen in it. It's maybe one of the most British movies I've ever seen. So
yeah, definitely, definitely. And I think it has a lot of themes that then get passed on into, you know, the future of these heist movies. But also, you know, I mean, it's really well shot. I mean, the opening scene, for example, it's this guy driving this fancy Lamborghini Miuda. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. I'm not the biggest car guy. But he's driving this fancy Lamborghini in these hills, like great scenery. I mean, kind of like a Bond movie in a sense, but it's like that big action, you know, big picture thing. And then how we are introduced to our main character, Michael Caine, is, you know, he's this like silly guy coming out of jail. Such a thing that is used in not only just heist movies, but action movies. I mean, always the main character, he's fresh out of jail and he's like, now time for the next score. And it's really funny when he comes out of jail, because he's just saying goodbye to everybody. Like he's just like leaving his school for the day. He's like, oh, bye to the warden. And then the warden's like, oh, okay, goodbye. And he's like, well, and one of the guards is like, I hear he's going to go do a job in Italy. And the warden's like, oh, well, I hope he likes spaghetti. They serve that four times a day in the Italian jails. And it's just a funny little way to open the scene. And then we cut to his girlfriend, or maybe it's not his girlfriend, I'm sorry.
It seems like just like somebody who's also part of the crime syndicate, exactly, that he is also a part of. You
exactly
know?
Yeah, yeah,
that's kind of like how I took it. I think I didn't see her as more than that. She's like kind of a love interest at certain, yeah, points.
She's not the girlfriend, she's actually the widow of his friend who's part, and they're all worked together in the past. But you know, she picks him up and you know, they're flirting in the car, and then she brings him to this hotel and she's just like, I got a surprise for you. And it's just like 10 women. And she's like, which one do you want? And he's like, oh. And then the next scene, it literally cuts to him coming out of a hotel room, which, yeah, insinuates that he so just funny. Fucked, yeah, all the girls.
He just like comes out and he's like, whoa,
Yeah. I mean, that's just classic, like, 60s, yeah. late 60s it,
yeah, it's movies. Like, it's this silly type of comedy that they have, for sure. Yeah. Like, that old type of British humor is much, much different from, like, what you would see as humor in a modern, like, action film. You know what I mean? Because the action really doesn't... I would say for the first half of this movie, it's, like, just slapstick comedy. In a lot of ways, not like physical comedy, but like, you know, like, oh, isn't this silly that he's doing this? Oh, isn't this silly that he's doing that? And then eventually, like toward the end, all the entire like chase scene, which is like, I don't know, like 20 minutes of this movie, which mm-hmm. is like the last, like pretty much the last act of the film, you know, is like all these like cool action scenes from like 69, which is like,
yeah.
like ridiculous to think that they shot all these like cool scenes. And, you know, it really made me think about how the remake must have gone, because I can't imagine it being very silly, especially in 2003 with the Jason Statham and Mark Wahlberg attached to the film and Charlize Theron. It just kind of, it seems to me like once I eventually watch that, it's going to be like, oh, this is like a regular action movie. And they're, mm-hmm. they probably, my assumption is that they probably didn't stay true to like what the roots were. Of this, you know, they kind of probably just took the shell of it and like went from there. I mean, I also just want to like touch on that, like, it's so funny to me that they have 12 guys in this team. It could be more even. I might have miscounted, but it's something like about 12. And I was like, dude, you're gonna split $4 million between 12 guys. I know this is 1969, but dude, that's not. It's not like this is like the big score. This is just another score for a lot of these guys. That's what it seems like. Cause like, how does the math work out on that? And you got to assume Michael Caine is taking like a much bigger cut. I need to do the math on this right now. So $4 million divided by 12 guys, $333K for like each guy. And in 69, that's probably going to,
it's probably like a mil each.
It's probably like a mil each, like something like that. And it's like, okay, that's like an okay score, mm-hmm. I guess. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't know. It's okay. It's fun. I love the ending. I love the ending. How it just leaves on this very comedic note. It kind of dark, if you ask me too. It, with all these guys on the bus, just tilting there. As they were like drunkenly celebrating that they just successfully robbed this bank, or robbed this armored truck rather, and they go off a cliff and they're just teetering because of the gold, and they have to basically choose at a certain point, like, do we want to live, or do we want to get this gold? So
yeah, definitely, I definitely agree with you. And it's so interesting. And I love the mix of comedy with all this action and all, you know, these concepts of this heist. Another thing I want to really touch on is like the use of cars within this film. First, we're introduced to the Lamborghini. Then he's in an Aston Martin DB4.
Nice Aston Martin.
Yeah, very nice Aston Martin. I'm a big Aston Martin guy. Then a Jaguar. I mean, the cars are a big thing here. The Fiat. I mean, it's a precursor for a film like Fast and Furious. And I've never, you know, seen Fast and Furious. I know people will probably like roast me in the comments. I just haven't gotten around to it. And I will. But what I do know is that this film is definitely a precursor for films like that, or, you know, Drive and all those other, you know, car-oriented films. And for car lovers, it attracts an audience as well, because, you know, people love to see these classic cars driving through the mountains of Italy, driving around, you know, being used in these action scenes. I mean, that Lamborghini splits in half in the beginning. But yeah, what did you think on the use with the cars and stuff?
The use, so it's funny that you say that, because, you know, the thing with the Fast movies is that I would say the first three are just kind of like, oh, look at all these cool cars, right? Mm-hmm. And in a lot of those movies, they just kind of, I mean, in the first three rather, they just kind of like sent they just sent like mail to like people who had had their cars featured in magazines or whatever, and they got them to bring their cars down to like wherever they were filming, and they would film them, and they would like put them up in a hotel for the night to stay there, like, and it was really just showing off like all these cool cars, like, oh, look at this car, look at that car, look what you could do with this, look what you could do with that. And then eventually they evolved into what we know as the movies today, because by the time you get to like Fast Five, these are like full-on action movies where these dudes used to be like race car drivers, you know. And it's evolved so much from there, and I'm happy that they took something from this movie and showing like, oh, look at these cool cars, and then look at the cool action scenes we can put in them. They don't just race, you know what I mean? They're like driving on that like reservoir in the water, and it's so cool because I was like, oh, that's why they got the minis, so because they're so small and they were able to go over like this bridge, and then the other car tries to get in there, and then he like crashes and he just goes like out into the water, like out into the river, and like they benefit so much from having like these tiny little cars and everything like that. And, you know, like it's movies like this that make even like a silly kind of car like a Mini Cooper seem cool, you know what I mean? That they're like, oh man, like I didn't realize that you can do all that with it. And I was really heartbroken when they destroyed the Jaguar and the Aston Martin. I was like, ah, dude, what the hell, man? Such a nice car. So yeah.
Definitely. It's a fun little thing to have weaving in throughout this whole story, and definitely adds to like the interest that this film brings.
I can only imagine like car guys back then being like, "Ooh, what a nice car! Ooh, exactly, what a nice car!" Exactly. Like pre Fast and Furious guys.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? They were early days Fast and Furious guys, and they didn't even know it.
Exactly. No, completely. And I mean, even like they just come throughout, you know, the film. They're just, you know, once you see the Lamborghini go, then in comes the Mini Cooper, which is a classic British car, and they just keep coming back. Now I want to talk about like the Britishness of this movie. I mean, this movie is probably, besides maybe Blow Up, which is another great British movie with Vanessa Redgrave, a really classic one, but besides Blow Up, this is maybe like the most British movie I've ever seen. You know, I mean, this rings UK in it, and I, even with the humor, with everything that goes on with it, it just feels so British. The way that they, you know, even the way that their opinions go and the story goes throughout the film, it just rings, you know, just English, and I enjoy it, but it's a lot at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because thinking about how British this film is makes me think that maybe it's much more well regarded in like England. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like it makes you think, because we probably have movies here that we regard very highly as like classic films that like they probably never give a second thought to. You know, like I could only imagine what like a movie like Die Hard is regarded as over there. It just like, it shows the stark differences because it is so British and it has a lot of British humor in it. So a lot of things are probably more for them or there, whereas that, because I mean, there's like a bunch of British companies even in this film, you know what I mean? It's very inherently British. There are some things though that I will say like kind of get on my nerves with this film. I definitely don't like that they're not like action-y in their editing style. The editing style for this film could have been done so much better. I feel like that's probably part of why they remade it. You know, they were probably like, oh, the shell of this is really good, but let's, you know, try to take it. I think Michael Caine is like really what saved this film from being like a disaster. You know what I mean? It could have been very bad, and it's not to take away from it at all, because it is a lot of fun. I feel like the cinematography is very, very good in it, because they get a lot of really cool shots. They got a lot of really cool action shots too in this. Like there's a lot of shots of them like destroying cars, like taking cars off these cool jumps, and the stunt work in this is definitely great, especially for the time. I loved the chase scene. That was so much fun to watch. you know. And I love thinking about like how stunts used to be done, and even stunts now, to think about how much they have to train in order to do them. And I always say this, I really think that like there should be more awards for the stunt people, because they put in a lot of very hard work in order to make those things happen. And the same thing goes for like casting too. If I were to add, personally, if I were to add like two awards to the Academy Awards, it would be both for casting and for stunt work, because those are people that I feel like are very thankless in films, but what they do matters so much to how good a film can be.
I mean, Ryan, I completely agree with what you're saying. I think that like there's so much room for the Academy Awards to include casting and stunt work. I mean, with casting, we've seen plenty of films where, you know, casting always matters. First of all, it always matters. There is always an importance to it, and you cannot go around it. I mean, we have seen plenty of great films made greater because of great casting. We've seen plenty of great films made worse because of bad casting. And we've seen plenty of great actors, you know, who are fantastic. And there's an example that Ryan and I both, you know, love to talk about on our own time together, because it's just so funny, of two actors we love, maybe two of our favorites even. I don't know.
Yeah. About you, but, yeah, no, I would definitely say so. Yeah, I know exactly.
But who do not deliver a strong performance because of the film that they're in, and because of, you know, the roles maybe not being suited for them, the writing was trouble, and that is Al Pacino and Robert De Niro in Righteous Kill. I mean, it is just, God, it's just a mess. It's a mess.
It's honestly, I remember when we sat down to watch this, we read the cast list, and we went, how have we not heard of this?
Yeah.
We went through the entire thing, and we were like, how the hell have I never heard of this movie? I was like, oh, maybe I have. And then we looked at it, and it was like, we got like three quarters of the way through, and we were like, oh, dude, like, please, can we end our suffering now, please?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, this was like, it really showed that like casting and everything matters when it comes to a film. And I mean, like, it's just funny to see that, because I guess the point that we're trying to make is that Michael Caine is very, very well cast in this film. Mm-hmm. And like, sometimes one thing can make a big difference, mm-hmm. in your movie being very poor or very good. And I think Michael Caine being able to, I feel like he's one of those actors that can kind of flip a switch between the two. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. he can definitely be funny, because you definitely, even like, I even think in the Batman movies, like he teases Bruce Wayne a little bit, you know, mm-hmm. what I mean? He makes fun of him sometimes, and that's kind of what Alfred is supposed to do. He's kind of supposed to like poke fun at Bruce sometimes, you know, and Michael Caine is able to do that. He's kind of able to go back and forth between like being like very serious and being very funny. You know, some of the comedic elements that I've seen in this film, like from my perspective, I think it's very funny that like you have this guy like running this prison basically. And what's like extremely hilarious to me is like once they pull off the job, it's like they all heard about it all at once. And then they're like clapping for him as he's going down and walking down to eat this like big dinner. And he's like, yes, we just pulled off this big gold heist. And it's like, dude, like how the hell is this dude like controlling all this? Or like when Michael Caine breaks into the prison that he just left, and so we can talk to him while he's on the toilet.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I mean,
Michael Caine, so funny. Like, yeah,
Michael Caine has that great comedy in him, and he's a fantastic actor. And honestly, I feel like anything he does is just great. I love Michael Caine. I love Michael Caine. Mm. One of the great voices too. I mean, yeah. Look. My Letterboxd rating in this film was 3.5. Now,
that I personally said 3, and what's really funny is I was the one who picked this one.
Mm-hmm.
I went into it thinking like, oh, like this is going to be pretty cool, and very quickly into it, I realized like what kind of film I was getting, that mm-hmm. it was a very rough, mm-hmm. like representation of what we see as a heist film now. And that's kind of what we've been talking about this entire time, is like what heist films are now is like you get a bunch of very cool characters and you get a little bit of backstory on them. And that's what the film is. And then they do this job together, which is like this big action set piece. And then the rest is either all of them in jail or like one dude in jail or like however the heist winds up for them. But with this, it just kind of ends and you don't even get to see the after of the heist. You're just left wondering what happened, which I thought was very unique for this type of film. It was funny. You know, they have a bunch of comedic elements throughout it. And then there's this like very kind of dark humor at the end of it where they're balancing out in order to try to, they're like, oh, do we take the money? Do we try to save the money or do we just leave? Like, what's going to happen? Like, what can we do in this situation? You know what I mean?
Definitely. Yeah. And look, 3.5 for me because, you know, I liked it. I enjoyed it. I understand its importance in the future of heist films. I love Michael Caine. I love the use of the classic cars. I love the use of like the great landscape shots, the great, you know, Italian, you know, it's fun. It's a fun movie in terms of how much depth it has as a film. That's a different story.
Yeah.
But it is a fun movie. It's a fun, enjoyable movie. And it does make me want to watch the modern one. I saw the modern one with Mark Wahlberg. Oh, it's been a long time ago. But I'll probably go back and rewatch it because I just want to, you know, see the difference and the juxtaposition of them.
Yeah, I could only imagine the extra, like, bits that having Jason Statham there would add. Because that's the thing is... It's funny because Mark Wahlberg is the one who plays Michael Caine's character. And I guess I can definitely kind of see him playing certain parts of it, if not trying to kind of make it his own, you know? I would really like to see the modern one just because, you know, like I said, Jason Statham is playing a character in that is not actually in this film that I can see. You know what I mean? Because it says he plays a guy called Handsome Rob, and I was like, who is that? Like in this film, I was like, there was no dude named Handsome Rob. I think I would remember some dude being called Handsome Rob. Like, but I don't know. I guess I could see Wahlberg playing certain aspects of Michael Caine's character, if not taking it and just being like, I'm going to kind of do my own thing with this. Like, you know, obviously Michael Caine is very British. And if I got to say, if Mark Wahlberg does a British accent in the modern one, it's probably going to take me right on out of it. Like, yeah. Right on out of it. I can't imagine that he would do that.
I don't think so.
I respect Mark Wahlberg as an actor. I think he's a very good, like, action guy. And I think, like, for what he is, he's very good. But I don't think he would divulge into doing an accent that he doesn't himself definitely know how to do. You know what I mean?
I don't think so either. And I also think Mark Wahlberg probably made this film very Boston.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it probably is Boston, Italy. That's probably what it is. I would imagine it kind of like the town, but in Italy. But I'm cool with that.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, okay, like the town, but in Italy? Like, yeah, that's a weird take on it.
I have a feeling the new one isn't even in Italy. I honestly don't remember.
I mean, why would they still call it the Italian Job then?
Dude.
I don't know. Man. I mean, and not only that, but I really like Statham too. Who knows? Maybe they kind of took the character and split him into two characters. I don't know. Once I see that movie, I will report back and let everybody know what actually happens. If not, go watch that on your own or be like, hey, you're an idiot. I've seen this movie. Stop talking about it. That's not at all what happens.
Yeah.
Tell me. Go ahead. But yeah, man, I don't know. I had a lot of fun with this. The casting is very good in it as well. So
yeah, I enjoyed it a lot as well. And it's a fun movie. It's fun times. Benny Hill, the great British comedian. That's a surprise to me. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, the Benny Hill Show. The famous guy for that. I mean, he was an interesting presence to have. Kind of gave me some Peter Sellers vibes, but a little more goofier. Kind of like a British Chris Farley, I guess. He was wonderful in it. And I don't know, man. He added a very interesting and comedic sense to this film. What did you think of him in it?
I thought it was, yeah. I'd agree that he just had, like, he's really a big part of what made it a comedic film at a lot of points. You know what I mean?
So, definitely. And playing off Michael Caine, they worked very well. So that was fun. I mean, yeah, you got anything else you wanna?
No, man. Talk? I mean, I think this one's very cut and dry. It's a very quick film. If you want to dedicate a little bit of time to it, go ahead. It's nothing overly special, but it's definitely something that it's one of those that, you know, I'll say it again, they don't make them like mm-hmm. this anymore, where they're funny and they have action and they have the, you know, everybody's gonna find something to enjoy in these films.
Definitely.
You know?
So definitely. Yeah. Another fun one. And yeah, I enjoyed it. I mean, yeah, Letterboxd is 3.5 for me. So those are our scores. Thank you for joining us again here on RC Cinema Pod. I'm Chris. That's Ryan. We hope to do some more heist films in the future. I mean, I love the genre. I think it's a fun genre.
Yeah, I think eventually we will get to the Ocean's films.
I think so too.
At the very least, Ocean's 11 for sure.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, we'll see about the latest one. Probably.
I mean, I've seen all of them. I've seen every single one of them. The most recent one, all of them. I think they're all pretty good heist movies.
Yeah, Rihanna in the new one is.
Yeah, no, I mean, fantastic. I like the most recent one. I was on board for it. There's a lot of very good women that are in that.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, I agree. So, but yeah,
it's a little convoluted at certain points. But
yeah,
you know, that's beside the point. That's any heist film.
Yeah, definitely. But fun movie, fun. We'll be back next week with another great film. Until then, like, subscribe, just like and subscribe. Stop it. And follow us on Instagram at RC Cinema Pod. Thanks a lot for coming in again and watching us. And yeah, we'll see you next week, guys. Peace.
Cool.